Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, from the heights of fame to the depths of infamy. I want to speak tonight on this subject, a very serious and solemn subject, as we come to the gospel tonight. The Word of God speaks to us of a woman whose life was exemplary. She was loved by King Ahasuerus. Above all the women, she obtained grace and favor in his sight, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And that's in Esther chapter 2, verse 17. Of course, Esther, of whom we're speaking about here, was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. She was brought at a time to bring deliverance to the people, the Jews, at a time when the conspirator Haman had planned their death. And Mordecai sent these words to Esther: "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther 4, verse 14. And the Lord was pleased to use Esther as an instrument for the deliverance of his people. She stands out in Scripture as a righteous queen. When we think of Esther, we think of a virtuous woman whose price was far above rubies. A woman of great value to God's people. A woman who saw victory brought from the jaws of defeat. In stark contrast, we see another queen in the pages of the Old Testament, who was known for her sinfulness. As we view this woman, we are reminded of the fact that the way of the transgressor is hard, that sin will take you further than you want to go, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This woman was married to King Ahab, who did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. 1 Kings 16:33. Sin was rife in the land of Israel, and sin was rife in the house of Ahab, and in the life of Ahab, or the lives of Ahab and Jezebel. It is Jezebel that I want to focus upon tonight in the closing moments of this service. There are several warnings that come from her life to each one of us tonight that we need to pay heed to if our end is not to be as the end of Jezebel, from the heights of fame to the depths of infamy. I want to speak first of all about the description of this woman. The Word of God describes this woman as being wicked in the sight of the Lord. And we have read tonight several scriptures in 1 Kings and in 2 Kings that indicate to us the rottenness, the wickedness of this woman. She rejected the Lord, the true God. She was a worshiper of Baal, the false god. Here we have this woman, Jezebel. She was an idolater. She had no time for the Lord, Jehovah, or the worship of his holy name. She despised all of that, a and she gave herself to idolatrous practices along with her husband Ahab. She gave herself along with him to false religion and sought to lead Israel in the way of idolatry. Maybe tonight you are just like Jezebel, in that you are a worshiper of the false god. You have reared up idols in your heart and in your life, and you have rejected the Lord. You have refused to reverence His name, like Jezebel. She not only rejected the Lord, but she reviled His holy name. The Bible tells us that the false prophet sat at Jezebel's table. 1 Kings 18:19. The prophets of Baal were welcomed by Jezebel. She had no time for God, but she had plenty of time for false religion and those who promoted it. And she fellowshipped and fraternized with the Lord's enemies. Who are you fellowshipping with tonight? The world? The ungodly crowd? Those who despise and reject and revile the true worship of His name? God's prophet Elijah was not at Jezebel's table. The people of God were not welcomed at Jezebel's table. And the people of God are not welcomed at the table of the world. And here's this woman. She rejected the Lord, but she received those who reviled His holy name. And not only that, but she repudiated the true worship of Jehovah. Here was a woman who was sold over to idolatry, who turned her back on true biblical worship, the worship of Jehovah and the honor of His name. And so we have the description of this woman. A character that was ungodly. A character that was sinful. And my friend, while you may not have plumbed the depths that this woman plumbed in her rejection of God, nevertheless, if you're not saved tonight, you're on the same road to a lost eternity that that woman was on. And you need to turn tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ. The description of this woman, but secondly tonight we look at the depravity of this woman, because when we look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4, we discover this woman was a murderer. When Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, here was a woman who was defiled. What a hatred she had against God's prophets to put them to death. 1 Kings 18:13. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? This woman had blood upon her hands. The garments of this woman, Jezebel, were stained with the blood of God's servants, whom she had slain. What a wicked woman she was. Like Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 9, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the servants of God. You remember, he kept the garments of those who put Stephen to death in Acts chapter 7. And many down through the centuries of time, even to this very day and to this very hour, have the blood of believers of Christ upon them. They have murdered God's servant. And even up to this present moment, right up to date, it is happening across the face of this globe. God's people are being put to death because they dare to worship the true God, Jehovah. They dare to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a defiled woman. She was a deceiving woman. We've read tonight how she saw to it in 1 Kings 21 that Naboth was murdered so that Ahab, her husband, could have his vineyard. And by deceit and with devious methods, underhand ways, she was guilty of taking Naboth's life, very much as guilty as Ahab was. She was a deceiving woman, given to lies and deceit, given to falsehood, given to underhand scheming, the very works of darkness this woman engaged in. The Bible tells me and tells you tonight that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And friend, maybe under the cover of darkness you're putting your hand to sinful acts that no one else knows about. No one else is seeing, but God sees. And God knows exactly what you're doing. She was a defiled woman. She was a deceiving woman. But I want you to see also she was a daring woman. For she threatened God's servant Elijah. In 1 Kings 19 and 2, we've read those words tonight. She sought retribution against God's servant. Within 24 hours, she was resolved, as the scripture teaches us there, and determined to bring about the death of Elijah. And she swears by her gods, her false gods, and raging like one distracteth, curseth herself if she will not slay him. She's in a frenzy, this woman. She's in a rage and a fury against Elijah. And murder is in her heart once again. This woman, Jezebel, would stop at nothing, so it seemed, in her bid to silence those who preached the true word of God, those who denounced the prophets of Baal and all the false religion of that day. No doubt she was even more infuriated when she heard how the prophets of Baal had been humiliated at Carmel in 1 Kings 18. And how the Lord, the God of heaven, had answered by fire, and all Israel, the people, had cried out that day when God answered by fire, "The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God." She was a hater of true religion, this woman. The true worship of God. She was a hater of God's prophets and God's people, who proclaimed His name, who exposed the false religion, and sought to blot it out of the land as Elijah did. She hated all of that. And here we see a wicked woman in the sight of God. The Bible tells us tonight that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord searches out the heart tonight. He searches out your heart in this meeting. The searchlight of heaven shines its enlightening rays into the deepest recesses of your being tonight. He sees that which lies within, and there is the seed of every sin within your heart. You say, "I would never do those things that Jezebel did." But let me tell you, there's the potential of every sin in your heart tonight and in my heart tonight. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7 verses 21 to 23, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." You see, the Bible speaks of man's total depravity.
We think about somebody, he's a good man. He may be good as far as society is concerned, but scripturally and biblically, when we look at every man, we discover there is nothing good in man. Because from the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That scripture and many others that we could cite to you tonight indicate and reveal to us the total depravity of man. That man is totally depraved. There is not an atom of goodness within your heart tonight. Unsaved person in this meeting. Man is totally depraved. The Bible teaches us that. And so we see the depravity of this woman. And then of course in the third place we come to look at the declaration concerning this woman. 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 23, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." You notice here her condemnation. She was condemned for her sin. Condemned for her sin. And the sinner is condemned for their sin tonight. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. He that believeth not is condemned already." What a sad and sorry state this woman Jezebel was in. And what a sad and sorry state you're in tonight. She was under the divine displeasure. God was displeased. And friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you're continuing in your rejection of Christ, if you're continuing in your rebellion against the gospel, God is displeased with you tonight. Because God is angry with the wicked every day. And he's angry with you tonight. Oh, the world may congratulate you. Oh, your friends and your family may commend you. But God condemns you because of your sin. And listen tonight. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. It found Jezebel out. And whatever your sin is, it will find you out tonight. Her condemnation. I want you to think also not only about her condemnation, but I want you to think about her calamity. It was going to be something shocking and shameful. There was not going to be anything pleasing or pleasant about it. It was going to be an awful punishment. Eaten of dogs by the wall of Jezreel. How are the mighty fallen? Here's a woman at the height of her fame. She's going to come to grief, to great loss, eternal loss, from the very throne to the place where the dogs eat their food. What shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel? What will your end be, my friend, if you continue to reject Christ? Your end will be eternal punishment, everlasting fire. The Bible speaks about the death of this woman. In 2 Kings chapter 9, we read about her death. It was the death of the vile woman. You notice the words there we have read tonight earlier in the service. 2 Kings 9 from verse 30. In verse 30, instead of hiding herself as one afraid of divine vengeance, she exposed herself to it. She painted her face and tied her head and looked out of the window. She was a brazen woman. There was no humiliation of heart. As far as this woman was concerned, she had hardened her heart against God and against truth. She's going to brazen it out to the last. But never did any harden their hearts against God and prosper. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Here's a stubborn woman. A rebellious woman. A foolish woman. A godless woman. Instead of humbling herself and putting herself into close mourning for her sin. She painted her face, she tired her head, that she might appear like herself, as she thought, great and majestic. This is not a surer passage to ruin. This woman went on the road to ruin with an unhumbled heart, despite many humbling providences in her life. Instead of trembling before Jehu here in 2 Kings chapter 9, who, by the way, was the instrument of divine vengeance, she thought to make him trembling with the threatening question in verse 31, "Hath Zimri peace, who slew his master?" What a vile woman she was. She was unrepentant. She was unready for eternity. Is that how it is with you tonight? You're unrepentant in your heart. You've refused the gospel again and again. You've spurned God's offer of mercy. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible says to you tonight, prepare to meet thy God. She was a vile woman. You'll notice she had a violent death. Verses 33 to 36 of that portion in 2 Kings chapter 9 reveal that God's word spoken earlier in 1 Kings 21 was fulfilled here. She was a cursed woman, cursed by God. Verse 34, "And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, Go now, see now this cursed woman." Or, in fact, the word woman there is not in the original Hebrew Bible. It's the word cursed that is the emphasis is upon. Go now, see this cursed, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. She's cursed. She's a cursed woman. We see from verse 35, she's a crushed woman. Bible tells us that they went out to bury her. They found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. What an end. She was a crushed woman. She was crushed by the horses that went over her. She was a consumed woman in verse 36. This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel." Her flesh was eaten by the very dogs of the street. They consumed her flesh. She was a consumed woman, and we see the carcass of this woman in verse 37. It was as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. We see the catastrophe for this woman. Such was the violent end of this wicked, wretched woman, Jezebel, that her name nowhere remained, but it was stigmatized in sacred writ. They could not say so much as, "This is Jezebel's dust, this is Jezebel's grave, or this is Jezebel's seed." In fact, it says in verse 37, "so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel." There was nothing of her left. Nothing of her left. The Bible says, "the name of the wicked shall rot." What a death. What a death. Let me ask you tonight, what death will you have? The death of the unrighteous? The death of the unsaved? Lost soul? Make sure your death is not a death of infamy, like Jezebel's. Like one of old, will you say tonight, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." You know, there's a preacher of the old school, and he speaks as boldly as ever tonight. He's not popular in this world. The world is his parish, of course. He travels over every part of the globe. He speaks in every language under the sun. He visits the poor. He calls upon the rich. He preaches to people of every religion and Many have no religion, but the subject of his sermon is always the same. He's a very eloquent preacher. He often stirs feelings which no other preacher can. He brings tears to eyes that seldom weep. He addresses himself to the conscience and the heart. His arguments none are able to refute. Nor is there any heart that has remained wholly unmoved by the force of his mighty appeals. What a preacher he is. Most people hate him, for many quail in his presence. But in one way or another, he makes everybody hear him. What a preacher he is. He's neither refined nor polite. Indeed, he often interrupts the public arrangements. He breaks rudely into the private enjoyments of life. He frequents the shop and the office and the place of work. He appears in the midst of the legislators of this world. He intrudes upon the fashionable and religious gatherings of mankind. He comes at the most inopportune times. What a preacher is he is. His name is Death. His name is Death. You cannot take up a newspaper without finding that he has a corner in it. Every tombstone serves as his pulpit. You often see congregations passing to and from the graveyard. The sudden departure of that neighbor. The solemn parting with that dear parent, the loss of that dear husband or wife, the valued friend, the awful gap that has been left in your heart, and that beloved wife or that idolized child was taken. There have been loud and solemn appeals by this old preacher. He's making those appeals again tonight. And one day you may be taken for his text. And in your bereaved family circle and by your graveside, he may be preaching to others. Death. You need to thank God tonight you're still in the land of the living. That you have not tonight, up to now, died in your sins. Remember this tonight. Death is a powerful preacher. And he preached a powerful sermon here. In relation to Jezebel and her death. What will your end be, my friend, tonight? What will your end be? The Bible says to you and me tonight, it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. God is speaking to you tonight about your death. He's speaking to you tonight about the end of your life. Where will you be? In God's eternity. And where you will be depends upon what you do with Christ. I preached last Sunday night in my own church on that great text. What shall we do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with Christ tonight? You'll either receive him or you reject him. You can't sit on the fence. A lot of people try to do that. But neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, I urge you tonight. Oh, be saved, his grace is free. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of thy word tonight. O God, we pray that there'll be those that will come and trust the Savior as a result of this meeting. We pray that thou wilt open the eyes, Lord, of those that are yet blinded in their sin, and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.